Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Hi, guys. Long time no chat. How's it going?
Pretty good.
We missed you, Ryan.
I know.
Ryan's on maternity leave. We don't see her anymore.
It's so weird.
It is.
We miss you.
It has not stopped me from buying books from Gibson's.
I noticed. I work on shipping. Every now and then it's like, oh, Ryan is ordering books.
Yep. I ordered two of the like the blind bag bundle things because I was like, I'm bored. I'm on maternity leave and I can't leave my house. Send me fun things. And I was so excited when they came. Ugh.
I had Sam do that for you.
I could tell.
She had fun, I think.
She did. She included my little Pennywise that she drew for me. I was so excited. I opened it up and there was just Pennywise on top. I was like, yay! Which is probably not the reaction that most people have to Pennywise.
I was going to say, you're probably the only person in the world that would open a package with Pennywise in it and not just be like, ah!
To be fair, he's a cartoonized, very, very adorable Pennywise. He's very cute.
Yeah. And
I had the thought that I was like, oh, I should take him with me when I go on maternity leave because he just sort of like lived behind the register. I was like, oh, I should take him. And then I forgot. And then he showed up in my little package. I was so excited. So now he's my bookmark, which is very fun. So what have you guys been up to? Have you been reading anything good since we last talked?
I have been having waves of brain fog, which I feel like everybody's been having.
Yeah.
I've just been tired usually when I get home from work, so I really haven't had the gumption to like strap into what I've normally been reading. So I kind of just like scrapped everything that I was reading currently. And I wanted to start with some like pretty easy, straightforward stuff. So I started reading comics, graphic novels, and it sparked my interest because a couple weeks ago, I believe, we had Marique Bennett to a virtual event with us for his book, Sharjah Sketchbook, and it's a fantastic event. You can find it on YouTube.
There's a link to it on our website, and I'll put it in the show notes too. That was a very cool event.
It was, he's just like the most calm dude ever. I really liked listening to him talk about his creative flow, writing the sketchbook. The book he has self-published is a comics travelogue or diary about his time working at the International Book Fair in Sharjah, UAE, which is the United Arab Emirates. And it's just really, it's the way he explores the role of imagery in comics through Islamic and international lens, and how the United Arab Emirates came to be. And it's just, it's really profound, and it was just very touching to hear these other voices and how he had to really consider how he can draw people in his comics with an Islamic lens to him. He was fascinating. I highly recommend that book. The second thing I started, I went on his website and I bought another travel blog book. It's called Slovakia, Fall in the Heart of Europe. Another travel blog book about his time in Slovakia, learning about his family and his background, and working on another comic he was drawing at the time about the different religious saints in a church that his family goes to in Slovakia. Wow. And it's a thick boy. It's like 600 pages long.
Wow, that's big.
But he's just so talented, and I really like all of his work. And
Yeah.
So I've been reading a lot of Marieke Bennett. Cool. And I also picked up on a whim a book that I had never read, and it's a modern classic. It's True Grit by Charles Portis.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I've never read it. I started to pick it up because Donna Tartt wrote this long essay about him a couple weeks ago in the New York Review of Books.
Cool.
And I was very interested in the, we had it in the store, so I brought it home and I started reading it, and I ate through it in like 3 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. It is a short book, and it feels, I don't know how to explain this book. It is a wonderful book. The centralized character is a 14-year-old girl named Maddie Ross. This is back in Arkansas around like the late 1800s, where cowboys were a big thing still.
Hmm.
Her father dies by the coward Tom Cheney. So she is trying to seek revenge for her father's death. So she enlists the help of U.S. Marshal Rooster Cogburn.
Right.
And they try to hunt down her father's killer. And the way Charles Portis writes, it is direct, it's clean, it's witty, it's ridiculously funny in this subversive kind of dark humor way. Maddie Ross is a character I really wish I read when I was in like high school. It's a fabulous book, and I just can't, I keep rereading it because it's just, there are so many things that I had missed the first time reading it. But it's a rich book, but the dialogue is just super quick. And if you're not paying attention to it, you're going to miss a lot of the good jokes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if you like the cowboy Western type of books, you should pick it up. If you really like Cormac McCarthy books,
mm-hmm.
this is something you should pick up. But it's really, it's truly a book that like everybody can enjoy. I would give this to a high schooler. I would give this to somebody who likes mysteries. I would give this to somebody who likes humor. If you're looking for a classic, like this is a perfect book.
That's awesome.
It's not a long book, you know.
Yeah.
I remember reading it when I was young. I mean, it must, when was it published, Kelso? It must have been published quite a while ago.
Well, we had the 50th anniversary edition.
Okay.
So there you go.
So like 60s, early to mid 60s, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 61, and I think I was maybe in junior high school when I read it.
Cool.
Maybe even younger.
The original copyright's 1968.
Awesome.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, that's one that, that's one of my friends who, she reads sort of like everything. She reads kind of every genre. And she was talking about True Grit one time, and I had just never pegged her as like reading Westerns, even though she reads literally everything. And she was like, no, this is my favorite book. She's like, not my favorite Western, my favorite book, period. And I was like, oh, so yeah. That's a very good choice to read. I like that. It's funny talking about rereading things and rereading them quickly. So I've been doing author interviews for the podcast, and I just did one for Rachel Harrison, who wrote The Return. And I was like, oh, I'm going to reread The Return right before I interview her so that it's like fresh in my mind. And I read it in one sitting again. I did that the first time too. And it was really interesting, like picking up on different things this time around, which was fun because I was sort of reading it with like, you know, interview questions in mind, like brainstorming, like, what am I going to ask her? What are we going to talk about? And I realized like how much, so this is the book where the woman goes missing while hiking. She goes missing for 2 years. Everyone assumes she's dead. They have a memorial service for her. Her one best friend is like, I don't think she's dead. I think this is just something she would do. She would like go off and hide somewhere and like wait to see who was mourning her, who showed up to the funeral. Like she, you know, she would do this for attention. 2 years to the day of her disappearance, she just appears back on her front porch with no memory of the last 2 years. And her group of girlfriends are like, okay, we're gonna do a girls' weekend. We're gonna go to a resort and just like, you know, kind of bond again and just like have a good time. And it becomes very clear very quickly that something is not right with the woman who came back. It is not quite the person who disappeared. So like very creepy, very scary. It like takes place at this super kitschy, crazy inn in New York where every single room is themed to the max, super oversaturated. Like there's one room that I was like, I actually would stay in this room. It's like the Edgar Allan Poe room and everything is like black and red. And like, it just looks very like a gothic and scary. And there's like, to get to the bathroom, you have to like move a book and then the wall slides open. And I was like, okay, but yeah, no, I would actually stay in that room. But then there's another room that like everything is pink. Like every single thing is pink. It's the only color in the room. And it's like the Valentine room, you know. So it's this like absurd hotel. The drinks are flowing. Like meanwhile, there's these like terrifying things are starting to happen and like the tension is building and the dread is building and all this stuff. So it's a scary book, but then I was rereading it and I was like, oh, this is a book about female friendships that happens to be set in the horror genre. It was so interesting to me to read it with that lens. This is an examination of like a girl group and the dynamics of female friendships and like how fierce they can be, how loyal they can be, how loving they can be, how, you know, the infighting that can happen, what can happen when like two of them go off together and like start talking about the others, like all this stuff. And then it just so happens that like it's in a horror genre and that kind of just heightens everything. Like that just kind of makes everything more intense. Which I found fascinating. So I was like, oh man, this makes me want to reread so many things. And I'm looking at my like to read stack that's like taller than me. And I'm like, I should read something new. But also now I want to go reread like everything I've ever read because I'm going to get new things out of it.
Well, that's such a great metaphor for what can happen in female in friendships.
You yeah,
know, that somebody for sure. Changes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you don't know why. All of
exactly.
What has happened?
Yeah. It really is like an amazing look at female friendships and like, and friendships in general, but they happen to all be women. And there is a special dynamic in a group of girlfriends. And yeah, like when one of them just changes, one of them just like, you know, they like all move away, right? They were all college best friends and then they all kind of scattered to the winds. And like one of them lives in New York and is very, very successful. One of them like had an affair with someone and one of them got married to a guy the rest of them never got to meet before the wedding. And like they didn't get to go to the wedding, right? Like one of them lives out in like LA and just like is like doing her own thing. And like they don't talk to each other regularly. And so they're like, they drift apart. And so then when they come back together, it's like trying to fit these puzzle pieces that have changed.
Yeah.
And like one more so than the others, but like even in the three women who didn't go missing, like they're trying to figure out their dynamic too. And also figure out like, what's wrong with our friend? Like what's happening? It's really good. And it totally reaffirmed how much I love that book. And I encouraged my husband to read it as well. And he does not do horror, but he also read it in one sitting and he loved it. I interviewed her yesterday. And she was a delight. She was great. So that interview will go up in October when the paperback comes out. But yeah, so I just reread that and it was really fun to, again, kind of like cut through the brain fog because I also have been like off and on dealing with that. You know, I've been trying to read all of these things to prepare for my interviews. And so I did like the audiobook of The Year of the Witching by Alexis Henderson, which was phenomenal. Really, really great book about witches in like think it takes place in maybe the 1800s, with like a diverse cast, and it's a fascinating book. And there's like that really cathartic style of witchcraft where like they seize their power and like they just own it, and like they just make things happen. There's like there's revenge, and like it's really good. And then so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna be chatting with Paul Tremblay. I was like, I have so many of his books. I was like, oh, I can, you know, read a bunch of these, it'll be great. And then I picked up Survivor Song, which is the newest one, and devoured it. Like read it in like 2 days.
Yeah, but someone who's like 8 months pregnant, like the heroine of that story, I don't know. Have you, does it freak you out to read it?
You know, you'd think it would have. it did not. Yeah, the one of the main characters is like 38 weeks pregnant, and there's a pandemic happening. There's a plague. It's basically super rabies. It's basically zombies, but you know, not zombies, because they're not dying and then coming back. There's just kind of, it's transmitted through bites. And it opens with her husband being attacked and being killed by an infected person. And
Lauren's not giving anything away. This is
This is literally how it opens. This is the opening scene. Her husband is attacked and killed, and she is bitten. And that's how it opens. So she's 38 weeks pregnant, and she's been bitten by a maybe zombie. And from there, it is a race against the clock. It is super fast paced. She goes to find her friend who's a doctor, and she's like, "You have to help me. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have to deliver this baby. Is it gonna pass to the baby? We have to go to the hospital. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen." And like, it's so great, and he got so much right about the way people handle a pandemic. there's like a whole thread of Facebook comments in the beginning that I was just dying laughing, because I was like, oh yeah, no, I've seen these Facebook comments on my friend's posts, and like, you know, like half the people think it's a conspiracy, half the people are like, no, it's, you have to take it seriously. And then like, it's like, oh, everyone's quarantining. Great. Well, you know, that would be nice. But then of course they run into people who are not quarantining, and like, it's like, oh no. All right. No, he got that too. it was fantastic. And I think because of the pacing, because it all happens over the course of like,
one day, right?
A day, basically. Yeah. Maybe a day and a half.
Because it's a super fast move. Like, once you get this rabies, you have a certain amount of time to get a rabies vaccine.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's literally like, it's like within the first hour, you have to get like the first vaccine. And then it's like, if you don't present further symptoms, then like 3 days later, you get the second one. Right. And then a week later, you get the third one. But of course it's like, you know, the hospitals are overrun, right? There's crazy traffic or whatever. It's like hard to get to places. And so it's this race against the clock. And yeah, I think the whole thing happens in the course of like maybe a day and a half, maybe 2 days tops. And so I just was like, I couldn't put it down. Like there was just no stopping point. I was like, I have to know what happens. I have to know.
The same thing. I had the advanced reader copy of that, and I think I read it in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
It
was like, what? What? Yeah.
it was terrifying.
It was so good. I loved it. And so I devoured that one. And then he and I were talking about how, and like, you know, again, you'll hear this in our interview, which also will go up in October. But we were sort of talking about like why like parenthood works really well in the horror genre. And like, and again, it comes back to that sort of like heightened, like everything is heightened and like the stakes are a little bit higher. Right. Yeah. And like, yeah, so that is a really, really great book. So I devoured that one. I was like, this is so good. And then I read The Once and Future Witches by Alex E. Harrow, which, well, I'm not done with it yet, but I'm about halfway through, and that one is so awesome. It's about three sisters who have magic. They have power. Only one of them really uses it, the youngest, and they all sort of like coincidentally end up in New Salem. And they have not seen each other in several years. And there were like some family conflicts, like things went down that you sort of like discover over the course of the book. And it does coincide with the women's suffrage movement. And they basically are like, we're going to start like a coven and bring magic back. We're going to bring witching back. Because it was squashed out after Old Salem was burned. So like you think about the Salem witch trials, right? But like imagine if they just leveled Salem. Like there were no trials. Every woman and child was killed. All of them. Like that's what happened. And so it like in theory squashed the magic. But some people just have it and some people were taught it and things like that. And so it's really cool. And there's sort of like alternate history where there are things like, so you know how Charles Perrault wrote fairy tales? In this book, it's Charlotte Perrault. And it's like the Sisters Grimm instead of the Brothers Grimm. So there's like these little things where it's like, oh, women used to have power. Mm-hmm. They used to be like this really epic force and like the Puritans like squashed it. And so now they're bringing it back. And it's like, oh, it is so much fun to read. And I mean, Alex E. Harrow, like her writing is incredible. She also wrote The 10,000 Doors of January. I mean, her writing is so, so beautiful. And oh, it's like a treat to read her books. You're just like, oh, this is wow. Like good job with your words. So I've been reading that one. And I'm actually going to be talking to her, again, as we're recording this tomorrow morning, first thing, and that'll go up in September. And then I just started listening to the audiobook of The House in the Cerulean Sea by TJ Klune, which I'm so excited for. I've been meaning to read it for like months and months and months. My bookseller friends have been like, read this book, read this book, read this book. And I just kept putting it off for various reasons. And I'm finally listening to it. And oh my gosh, what a delight. You know the feeling you get when you watch Big Fish? It's like that in a book. Yeah. It's like so magical and so sweet. And like, it's very innocent, but like it still has like an amazing plot and amazing characters. Like it doesn't diminish anything. It's an adult book. I mean, it's adult fantasy. It is delightful and what a great book.
That's been on my list too. I've been wanting to read it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really sweet and like so magical right off the bat. It pulls you in so quickly. And it's like, you know, it opens with this guy who works for, he's like kind of like a social worker, excuse me, but for like magical youth. And so he goes to these orphanages which house kids who are magic. And he checks on them and he just sort of like makes sure that everything is kind of a-okay. Mm-hmm. He's the type of person who's like very by the book. Like he literally has like the company handbook memorized and like he bought his own copy in addition to the one that they gave him at work. The company he works for is like super, super crazy strict. He gets like assigned to this special assignment. The book just has such a cool vibe and like such a sweet vibe. It's a type of thing where like, so he goes to this special assignment. It's basically like, yeah, you're the only person who we trust to like check in on this specific orphanage because like the magical youth at this specific orphanage are like different. And he's like, I don't know what that means, but okay. And they're like, you'll see. And he goes on the train or whatever, and he looks out the window and sees the ocean for the first time in his life. And he just is like, wow, is that the ocean? And like the conductor on the train's like, I mean, it's part of it. Yeah. There's just so much innocent wonder to it right off the bat. I am loving it. It's a balm for the soul, you know, like it's just one of those books that's like, oh, this is going to make me feel good, but it's also like a really good story. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to. Hillary, what about you? What have you been reading?
Well, are either of you Carl Hiaasen readers?
You know, I haven't read him, but I feel like I would love him. Every time I look at his books, I'm like, this sounds amazing. I should read this. And then I never did.
He's quite delightful. Carl Hiaasen has been for about 30 years now writing they're sort of mysteries, but they're satirical mysteries that take place in Florida. And he he writes for a major newspaper in Miami. And these books are hilarious. They always have some kind of environmental feature to them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some evil person is stealing all the sand from beaches to use at resorts, or you know, and people are constantly having crazy things happen to them. Like there's one book where a guy gets attacked by a pit bull, and he kills it. But the pit bull has bitten onto his arm so hard that he can't get it to let go. So he cuts off the dog's head.
Oh my God.
And is traveling.
Oh my God.
This pit bull's head attached to his arm.
Oh no.
Which gradually gives him blood poisoning and kills him.
Oh my
but
God.
So it's just crazy stuff like that. They come out every couple of years. He's also written a series for children that are similar, aimed at kids. So he has a new book coming out on August 25th that is called Squeeze Me. Okay. And it features giant pythons that are running amok through Florida. And it also features our president and first lady with different names. But they are clearly... our president and first lady. They go by their Secret Service nicknames. The president is called Mastodon. The first lady is called Mockingbird. But the very first thing that happens in this book is that there is a group of elderly, right-wing, conservative, super rich ladies who do the disease ball circuit, you know, where they raise money for diseases, and they're going to an IBS ball.
Okay.
And one of them, her name is Kiki Pugh. And Kiki Pugh, is about 5 feet tall and weighs about 80 pounds.
Okay.
And, she also, really likes Molly, the drug Molly. and she's like in her 80s.
Amazing.
So good.
She's gone out to, she's gone off by herself onto the grounds of this ball in Palm Beach to have a little Molly and maybe find a cute gardener to have Nookie with. Oh, and she vanishes. They cannot find her. And then the next day they find a, like, 19-foot python with a really big lump in its belly.
Oh, no!
And so this starts the whole book off, because obviously nobody can find out that Kiki Pugh got eaten by a python, because then nobody will want to come to this estate anymore and have their big events there.
Right.
So it just takes off from there. So if you really want some chuckles, it is. And Kelso, I see you nodding. You've read it.
I have not read Squeeze Me yet. I've pre-ordered it, but I recommended Michael a book, and then he read it and he was like, this is great. And he recommended me Tourist Season by Carl Hiaasen.
Yes,
this is similar.
That's a classic. Yeah.
And you will love this. And now I'm just a huge fan of Carl Hiaasen books. They're so funny, and they're just full of like these, what I imagine to be caricatures of South Florida people to be like.
Yeah.
Although Carl Hiaasen has said in interviews, you know, I tone it down from real life.
I was going to say, have you ever played like the Florida Man game?
Right, exactly.
You just type in Florida Man and then like a random date, and you just like look at the headlines. It's my favorite thing to do.
Well, I would, if this sounds intriguing to anybody who's listening, I would highly recommend going back and like starting at the beginning of this series, because mm-hmm. there are recurring characters. And and one of the first books, I think it might be Double Whammy. Double Whammy is a bass mm-hmm. fly. You know, it's a thing you catch bass, the thing about a crooked bass competition, you know, people trying to catch the biggest bass. But there is a character who was the governor of Florida, who is trying desperately to save the Everglades and, you know, Florida wildlife. And everything is so corrupt and so terrible that by the end of the book, he just takes off into the Everglades and he becomes an environmental terrorist.
Oh my God.
he turns up in every one of these books, and he has a big part to play in Squeeze Me.
Oh, so, that is delightful.
Yes, so that is a super, super fun book to read. And the other books that I've been reading, David Mitchell, who's probably best known for Cloud Atlas, mm-hmm. He has a new book out called Utopia Avenue, which I haven't read yet, but I was listening to a review of it, and the reviewers who were discussing it both agreed that they think his very best book that he ever wrote was his very first book, which is called Ghostwritten. Hmm. And it's a collection of linked short stories. And so I'm in the middle of it right now. And I would say it's compelling. I'm just going from story to story to story. And every story kind of leads into the next one. They're different characters, but there's always a link between one and the next. And what they say is when you get to the end of the book, it all collides in this really cool, interesting way. So Ghostwritten by David Mitchell, available in paperback. It came out in the very early 2000s, I think. So it's been around a long time. And then the other, there's a political book that I'd like to recommend to people that I've just started. It's called Break 'Em Up by Zephyr Teachout. Zephyr Teachout is, she has run for attorney general and governor in New York City. She's a law professor at Fordham, I think. She's an expert in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle of this book is Recovering Our Freedom from Big Ag, Big Tech, and Big Money. It has a foreword by Bernie Sanders. Hmm. And it is about how we're in a second Gilded Age, where there are these people who have gotten hugely wealthy off of things like Facebook and getting people addicted to, you know, opioids, you know, things like that. And this book is about how if we want to reclaim our country, we need to do some trust busting. And I think it's a really excellent book to read right now before the next election, because if things change in this country in the way that I'm hoping they're going to change, we're going to have to jump on this stuff quickly. So it's a really good thing for people to be very well informed about. And it's not a big book. It's a short book. It's very clear, concise. It's kind of entertaining too. You'll wind up being really mad and feel like I gotta get off of, out of, you know, social media, 'cause I'm so mad. And then the very last thing I want to say is we picked our new books for book club, and our very first book is Cast, The Origins of Our Discontents by Isabel Wilkerson. Isabel Wilkerson is the woman who wrote The Warmth of Other Suns, which was about the giant migration of Black people out of the South in the wake of Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. Cast is about caste systems in three different places, in India, in Nazi Germany, and in the United States. And this book, we have been selling jillions of this book. Oprah picked it for a book club book. I wanted to read it first. But it's really, really good. I think if you know, there's so many terrific Black Lives Matters books out there now. You feel like you need to read like 20 books. I think this book combines a lot of the history mm-hmm. as well as the personal experience of a Black woman and mm-hmm. living in the United States and the kind of crazy microaggressions that, or not some. She tells the story about, for example, she's the writer for the New York Times. She's won a Pulitzer Prize. She has been sent to do some reporting. And the very last thing she has to do is go meet the CEO of a large, I think he ran department stores in Chicago. And so she turns up for the appointment and his assistant says, oh, he's walking in the door now. There he is right there. Just go up and walk, go talk to him. And she goes up and says, hi, I'm here to talk to you. And he says, I can't talk to you right now. I'm waiting for a reporter from the New York Times. And she says, oh, that's me. I'm the reporter from the New York Times. And he's like, do you have a card?
Wow. I can give
you. And she was like, well, you know, I just did like 10 other interviews and I don't have any more cards left. He's like, well, could you show me some identification?
Oh my God.
She showed him her license and he still said, yeah, I can't talk to you. I'm waiting for the reporter from the New York Times.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So she intersperses in this book her personal experience with the history of this kind of, basically what she says, a caste system is where there's an up class and a down class. Mm-hmm. And in our country, we just decide the down class is determined by the color of your skin. In other countries, like in Nazi Germany, the down class was determined by if you're a Jew, you know, like that. So highly recommend this. This is going to be a book that everybody is reading this year.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm excited for more book club. They're all still virtual, right? They're all still.
We're still going to be Zooming the book clubs. Okay. If people are interested in book club, go to the website and you'll see the books that we've picked. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for them. It's an interesting list this year. There's a lot of nonfiction on it actually this year, which is a little more nonfiction than fiction. But if you want to do it, it's still Monday, the first Monday of the month at 5:30. But we're doing it on Zoom and you need to go and pre-register. Mm-hmm. And when you pre-register, then you will be sent the link to the Zoom. And cool. It's been fun. It works really well as a Zoom thing. So don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Just do it. You'll enjoy it.
That's awesome. I feel like now is a good time to just sort of like touch on some of our like event things that are happening. So usually Indie Bookstore Day is the last Saturday in April, but of course the world had recently shut down, so they postponed Indie Bookstore Day to August, but the world is still shut down. So, so there's a virtual Indie Bookstore Day this year. And so instead of, you know, normally we throw a big party in the store and there's food and raffles and things like that. We're not doing that this year. But there are going to be, so August 29th, so the last Saturday in August, the folks who are organizing Indie Bookstore Day have put together an entire day's worth of really awesome Zoom panels. There's one that's all about like middle grade books. There's one that's all about like YA fantasy books. So there's like there's basically like a Zoom panel for everyone essentially. So those we'll be sure to share links for those throughout the day because there's some really cool stuff that's going to be going on. And then we also will have some of the exclusive Indie Bookstore Day merch, which I believe we will have on our website as well as in store. I do think that we are making it available to purchase on our website, but there's going to be really cool things. Like I think we got some socks this year. There's like a really cute journal. There's a tote bag. There's an adorable onesie, a candle. I forget what else. So there's some very cool, like exclusive merch that you can only get like on Indie Bookstore Day. So definitely keep an eye on social media for that. we'll keep everyone posted with, you know, the most up-to-date information that we have. And then that same weekend, so that's Saturday the 29th, and then Sunday and Monday, the 30th and 31st, we're doing our annual sale, but it's online only. So Sunday and Monday, because the store is closed, it's online only. And you can make purchases online and you'll get our sweet, sweet sale discount, and support the store that way. This is going to be a really good time to start Christmas shopping, and just holiday shopping in general, because the way things are shaping up, the way like publishers and warehouses and the postal service, the way everything's working right now, like, if you are hoping to get a specific book for someone for the holidays, order it now. Because if you order it in December, it might not show up till February. Like, this is not the year to do last minute Christmas shopping. This is the year to start right now and give yourself several weeks of wiggle room just in case. I mean, like, even if you're going for like a bestseller, because if we sell out, it could be weeks before it comes back in because there are delays everywhere and we can't control it. So the annual sale is going to be a really good time to like think through your shopping list and be like, ooh, you know, is there anything that I was going to get that I was like thinking of? Why don't I get that now and at the sale price? And then you don't have to stress about it come December when everything is crazy and all the booksellers are scrambling to try to get you your books and, you know, it's going to come down to the wire. And, you know, we just want to help you avoid that stress, and it helps us avoid stress too. It, you know, spreads it out. So I would highly, highly, highly recommend like making holiday shopping lists now and start picking at them now. And that goes for kind of like any business, any local shops, like start shopping now so that we can get things to you. Cause it's just going to get harder as the holidays get nearer. So that's the kind of the next big things. I know we have some really cool virtual events coming in September. And even on the podcast, keep an eye out for the upcoming interviews. Again, Alex E. Harrow will be in September. Paul Tremblay and Rachel Harrison will both go up in October. So there's some really cool stuff. We got some cool virtual stuff coming. Of course, like the best way to keep up with everything is to just follow our social media. Like, keep an eye on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all on there. When in doubt, GibsonsBookstore.com/event has our events calendar on it. The same way that book club works, so with our virtual events, because they are through Zoom, but we to sort of like make it a little easier on our end for registering, we actually have Eventbrite registration links. So you actually register through Eventbrite, and then in the confirmation email, you get the Zoom link to register for the Zoom event. So there, it's a multi-step process. So read the whole email so that you don't miss out. I don't think we've had anyone miss the event. I think everyone's gotten in just fine, but it was one of those things that like I attended one of our virtual events and I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. So they send you the Zoom link. Okay. All right. I was like reading everything. So cool stuff coming down the pipeline. And then just of course to give a quick shout out to our lovely sponsor, just a reminder about our amazing partnership with Libra FM. So our listeners who are new to Libra FM can receive 3 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they start a new membership. All right, You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.